Hi.
Michael, welcome. You are our quorum.
Hey, sorry I was late. I had to update.
Mine too. 3 months. 3 months.
Yes. Thank you. And here comes Alyssa. It is now 5:02, and I called to order the meeting of the Madison Public Library Board on Thursday, December 2, 2021. Isis, will you please read our introductory remarks?
Oh, gosh, I forgot to pull those up. Just 1 second. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So our last virtual meeting. After this, no more of these.
Don't shred anything yet.
What's that? There we go. Welcome. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. City staff, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. Public members, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video.
Thank you, Isis. Would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Jolynn Ruerta.
Here.
Alder Juliana Bennett.
Present.
Jamie Healy Plotkin.
Present.
Michael Ford.
Present.
Cindy Fesmeyer.
Here.
Alyssa Kenny.
Here.
Jair is excused. Lisa Hempstead. Okay. And Eve Galanter.
Present. A quorum is present. May I have a motion, please, for approval of the minutes of the meeting of November
4, 2021? So moved.
Alyssa, and second. Moved and seconded by Jamie. Are there any suggested changes or additions to those minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 The minutes are approved. Thank you. Are there any disclosures or recusals regarding any matter before us this evening under the city's ethics code? Seeing none. Isis, is there anyone who has registered to speak this evening who is not already on our agenda?
There is not.
Okay. Then we will move on is to our special report from staff. It is a report about the Wisconsin Book Festival, Connor Moran, with an update on the 2021 Wisconsin Book Festival, which looked like it was the most successful we've ever had, and it was almost all virtual. Connor, welcome once again to the library board meeting.
Thank you so much, Eve, and thank you to everyone on the library board for inviting me and letting me report on the library signature program for the year. The Wisconsin Book Festival 2021 was a total adventure. It took a number of different forms, and really what I can say, I don't know if Eve is completely correct by the numbers about it being the most successful, but it certainly felt like the most work in getting there felt like a true victory. So I appreciate it. I know I only have a couple of minutes, so I will speak quickly and leave a little bit of time if anybody has questions. And as always, You can email me, cmoran@mplfoundation.org, if you have any specific questions that you'd like me to answer after the fact. But it was actually quite a successful year. We did an entire spring schedule of all virtual events. We were able to draw an incredible number of people to those events throughout the spring. And then as things started to look like they were going to open up, we booked 47 authors for in-person events throughout the fall. That number turned into 15 as Delta kind of swept across the country. But ultimately, we hosted in-person events in September, October, and November, including one full day of events during the fall celebration on Saturday, October 23rd. We were able to draw more than 15,000 people to our events throughout the year. That's on 72 events so far this year. We have another one coming up here at 7 o'clock tonight and one last one next week. That's a great combination event between a project that the Madison Public Library is doing with their Indigenous Storyteller in Residence and the Wisconsin Book Festival, bringing Patty Lowe to talk about her book, Seventh Generation Earth Ethics. Patty is wonderful. She's done the festival before and we're really looking forward to it. One thing I would say is that we had almost 9,000 or a little over 9,800 people came to standalone events throughout the year. So those are people who came to kind of the 40 events that we put on beginning in late January and running through early December that don't happen in that fall celebration window. That is really a triumph of what we've been able to do. And it continues to just be a great way for us to be able to attract the highest quality authors to Madison Public Library. Like I said, we hosted our fall celebration. This year it was October 21st through the 24th. We hosted two nights of virtual events on Thursday and Friday, and then a full day of in-person events on Saturday, the 23rd. Those events drew almost a little over 750 people, which as I was standing in community room 302 at the end of the night talking to Tana, it really felt like every event to a person was half the audience we would have expected in 2019. If there were 50 people in the room, I would have said 100. If there were 25 people in the room, I would have said 50. And I now sit on the board of the National Association of Book Festival Directors. And we've been talking about everyone's events throughout the year, and 50% of live audiences is probably at the high end of what my colleagues have been seeing across the country. And so I attribute that to, you know, Dane County feeling safe about the choices they're making. I also attribute it to some great advertising and marketing that Tana Elias really spearheaded throughout the year, and really excellent local media coverage that Amy Mertz and Tana Elias and Liz Boyd all worked on between the foundation and the library marketing staff. So people really knew that the festival was happening this year. The people who came out were incredibly engaged. The Q&A was better than I've ever seen it. There was no one who just kind of held the mic and said, you know, I came in late and my wife brought me and I don't know. It was really like people who really, really wanted to be there. So that was fantastic. Another lasting legacy of the festival's virtual aspect is that this year we've had almost 4,000 people view Wisconsin Book Festival events after the fact as replays, whether that's through our Crowdcast channel or on YouTube. And that replay audience has grown as a portion of our overall audience, but really in relation to what the live attendee audience is. This year, about 38% of what that live attendee audience is then watching it as a replay. And so we're reaching so many more people than we would be able to if we were just saying you can only see it if you're in room 302 at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. That reach has expanded. While we still have our major service area is, I would say, Madison and the surrounding Dane County communities. Over 85% of our attendees come from there. We really have seen our across Wisconsin audience grow. We had audience members from 49 of the 50 states this year. Only South Dakota was not represented in our Crowdcast analytics. And 35 different countries, and ranging, you know, from Canada to Turkey, Taipei, Switzerland, South Korea, the Republic of Ireland, Zambia, Vietnam, Pakistan. So really bringing Wisconsin Book Festival content to people who definitely would not be making the trip and parking at the Overture lot. So I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of the legacy of that and how we've been able to turn a virtual event from just a reaction into a real positive. I'm already at work on 2022 and trying to figure out ways that we make the virtual events a part of what we do, maybe bringing in people that we couldn't otherwise get, someone who might be situated in Europe or something who's not coming over, and really give people an opportunity to do that and not just have it be, you know, the fallback for, what we do for something we think is going to be small. So I'm trying to be creative about that. We continued almost all of our partnerships and associations. So our bookselling partners stayed on this year. The Wisconsin Science Festival and the Wisconsin Book Festival continued their partnership. And we did more events this year than we did last year to some really great audiences and just really wonderful authors that we were able to bring in. As well, we continued our relationship with the program in creative writing at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And that partnership will continue into 2022. Two of our first three events in 2022 will be partnership events with the program in creative writing. So I'm very happy we were able to do that. Last couple things, we distributed almost 2,000 books, 1,975 free books at Wisconsin Book Festival events in 2020. These were mostly events that were either books that were given directly to students for school-facing book events where we worked with teachers and signed up kids to come watch for children's events or young adult events, but also things like the Sheryl Rosen Weston Memorial Lecture that featured Senator Elizabeth Warren, or our events with some of the biggest names that we had throughout the year, Sandra Cisneros, Kevin Kwan, or Miran Fader, who wrote the biography of Giannis Antetokounmpo, people who might not have come to the Wisconsin Book Festival or to Madison, but because we had the ability to put those books directly in readers' hands and also to host them virtually, we're very excited to do so. And I also always like to read a couple of the survey results and comments that we get. This year, surveying was a little bit harder just because people were a little less likely to fill out an online survey during an event. And we didn't have that many opportunities for them to fill it out in person, but we did get some really interesting events that kind of mostly talk about the value and the interplay between virtual and in-person events. So one person who attended our event with Celeste Headley for her book, Speaking Your Phrase, said, "I really hope that when the pandemic is over, that you continue to make your programs virtually accessible. I really like everything about the Wisconsin Book Festival offerings, the ease, the moderators, the interviewers. And for some reason, I like them a lot better than others I may have attended virtually." Then somebody says, "Thanks. In-person events are great and really necessary right now." And that was from our in-person event with Dantil Moniz for her book, Milk, Blood, Heat. Someone else at a Beginner's Guide to America with Roya Hakakian says, "This was a delightful event, more like a real conversation than an interview. We're not comfortable with in-person events just yet. It would be great if the in-person events could be made available virtually as well." And finally, from our event with Sandra Cisneros, somebody says, "Thank you so much for a lovely hour and beautiful words. I can't wait to get my hands on this book and get swept up by the story." A lot of people, from those events or from those comments, I'm seeing people who really want virtual options and people who really want in-person options. So we'll continue to kind of play with that and see what works for people, how we can record events and put them up later so that people can view them who can't be there in person. And then we'll continue to give books away. That has been just one of the resounding successes of the year, to the point that actually Sandra Cisneros herself, when I explained the books were given away because of the bequest that Sheryl Rosen Weston left to the book festival, she decided, and she wrote in her thank you note to me, that she is going to change some of the ways that she organizes her estate and bequests that she leaves in her will so that she can put books in readers' hands long after she's gone. So I thought that was a particularly beautiful moment for the year and really spoke to the power of what we're doing here. The last thing I'll say is that 2 months from tonight, we will begin the 2022 Wisconsin Book Festival schedule with an in-person event with Laura Coates. Laura's book is called Just Pursuit, And it is, pardon me, it is her story of working in the Department of Justice as a prosecutor and trying to be an advocate for the most vulnerable among us. She talks about how her best intentions ran up against large scale legal systems and how she worked to change how the court system views prisoners, views certain types of defendants, views people who are in the ICE system. Laura was actually the moderator for our 2020 event with Stephen Wright, who was the co-director of the Wisconsin Innocence Project. And because of that connection, she asked her publisher if she could come here when her own book came out. Wow. So I'm very excited about that. The next day, February 3rd, we have Lauren Groff, who's just shortlisted for the National Book Award for her book, Matrix. Lauren got her, studied here at the university and got her MFA here. And this is the first time she's been back since she published Fates and Furies, Florida, or her new book, Matrix. So expect that to be very well attended. And then on the 24th of February, we have Jericho Brown. Jericho won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry last year for his book, The Tradition. And he also was a moderator at our 2020 event with Claudia Rankin. And so it's great to see those digital connections becoming in-person connections and the ability to kind of bring those people in. Maybe they, you know, they didn't fly here the first time they got involved with us, but now they're willing to come. So, yeah, that's my report. But I think I have 3 minutes or 2 minutes if anyone has any questions.
Well, my question was going to be, would you give us a sneak preview of 2022? And you've already answered that. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Eve.
Are there questions, please? Anyone, question for Connor? Anything he that or a suggestion for Connor? Ideas that you may have, feel free to email him with an author you particularly think would do well here who hasn't yet been appeared on one of his multiple lists.
I think Alyssa.
Alyssa.
Can I just sort of ask, I'm not going to suggest somebody because you pick everybody I would, but how do you just like, how is that process? Can you just tell us like, how are these authors chosen? Yeah. A little bit, how many people, when you tell them you do the book festival, tell you who to bring to town? Is that how many?
Well, like a lot. There's I will be brief about it, but there are five major ways that authors come to the Wisconsin Book Festival. We do have an open proposal period, and that runs every April through the end of June. And that is anyone who, you know, is an author, works for an author, knows an author personally, can suggest an author to me. And then we kind of evaluate what, you know, what those pitches are and how that would work out. We also have a system that I go through where I ask publishers for specific events. They send me these giant spreadsheets of everyone who will tour in a given season. I go through them and I make requests and then I kind of negotiate with them about who might be able to come. I also get direct pitches from publishers who say, you know, something like the Jarrett Adams event that we had at the fall celebration. Jarrett has deep Wisconsin connections. His story is that he was falsely incarcerated, or he was incarcerated for a crime he did not commit. He was ultimately exonerated, and now he is a criminal defense attorney. And he has three law offices, one's in Milwaukee and one's in Chicago and one's in New York. And so they said, hey, he has this Milwaukee connection. Could we do something at the Wisconsin Book Festival? Those things happen pretty often. Partnership events, like the ones I was talking about with the program in creative writing, where, you know, a partner organization wants to bring somebody, and you know, they reach out to me. And then authors themselves, you know, so I meet a lot of authors, a lot of people who are, you know, I have a book coming out, or I have this book that's already out, can we do something together? So those are, I would say, like the primary five ways that we book things. We use not only do we use the strategic lens that the library has, but we had a strategic planning session, I think it was about a little under two years ago, during which library staff and foundation staff got together and really talked about how we draw a clear line between what the book festival is working on, who we're bringing and why we're doing that, and what the library's strategic priorities are. And so I use the model that we came up in that meeting to, you know, kind of guide me. I have consistent meetings with people like Tana Elias and Greg Michelson, and we talk about, you know, kind of what the library is going to be working on this year and if there is anything that can fit into that. Every once in a while, I'll get pulled into, you know, a staff day conversation or something like that as well. And so, yeah.
Thank you.
That's my short version. Sorry, Alyssa.
That was great. And I love the festival every year. So many great events. So
thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you for your hard work and many years of it.
Appreciate it. Okay. Well, thank you. And as always.
Okay. Thank you, Connor. Yeah. You want to give your email out one more time?
Sure. It's cmoran@mplfoundation.org. I don't know if Juliana had a question here for me or it's.
But just a statement, I just wanted to say, I think it's really impressive what you were able to do virtually. And I think it's super cool that like there's even people coming all the way like around the world from Vietnam and other places. So that's super cool what you were able to do. And
thank you. Yeah. I agree. I think it's really special. So,
and if there's really any way, if there's any way during the year, if there's any kind of communicating you'd like the library to do with anyone, please keep us apprised if we can be of any help, and continue to give us sneak previews of what's coming up. We appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, thank Connor.
You. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Moving on, is there anything in our board exchange? Isis or Juliana, did you? No, I see Juliana here. No? Okay. Anything for board exchange? No. So let's move on to our action items. First, we have the Legistar 68572. The director's report for November 2021. May I have a motion to accept, please?
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to motion to accept the report. You've all received a copy of it. Greg, did you want to comment on anything, or is anything is there an update to anything on the report?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Good evening, everyone, that I wanted to mention. First of all, just a real quick shout out to Connor, and I got my copy of Giannis here. That was a fabulous session, but just a quick shout out. I know you only get like 15 minutes of a year's work, and he does a fabulous job. I also want to compliment all the MPL staff that support this program as well. There's the marketing, but when we get into the in-person, there's a lot of maintenance, there's a lot of event coordination done by the staff. So it really takes a village to do this production. And as you can see from Connor's report, it's well-received and we're getting an international audience now. So that's fabulous. I did want to point out, in addition to my report, that we have now brought on a new Rosemary Lee intern. Her name is Montana Thomas. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her yet. She's a recent, or will be a recent library school graduate. She'll be working with Rin Kirkhove, our library planner. She'll initially be working on the Imagination Center project, and then we'll be eventually evolving to West Side strategic planning for library siting. We'll initiate that as well. So welcome her aboard. She begins on Monday of next week. So we've got plenty of plans for her. Also, there was a brief mention about coming, the library board coming back in person next month, January 6th. I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that we can't do this as a hybrid meeting, but we can still provide telephone access to individuals that can't attend in person for whatever reason. If you do need to attend via telephone, please give us as much notice as you possibly can, because we'll have the technology set up for that purpose. And then also ahead of time, we need to make note of that in the public notice, who will be attending by phone. But that's still an option for everyone. And Jamie, did you have a question with that?
I am notifying you right now. I will be attending my phone, so you can put it in the notice and then have the phone available in wherever you're meeting. And I will call in. Thank you.
Yes, I recall that it did work very well when we had our meetings, and any one of us, we had to be out of town but wanted to participate. We will be upstairs on the third floor and not in the small conference room on the first floor.
That was my other note that I was going to share, that we'd be up on third floor. And I've even attended by phone one time, and it works great. And then the other thing that I wanted to close with, since this will be our last meeting of 2021, is to thank all of you for your service on this board. It does take a lot of effort. Totally a new experience for a library board to be meeting virtually. Jolynn, Michael, Alder Bennett, we've never had the opportunity to even meet in person since you've come on to the board. So I'm looking forward to that in January as well. But it's been a difficult time for the board, dealing with the pandemic, the challenges that our organization deal with, dealing with some challenging budgets. Every year is a challenging budget, but these last two have been a real challenge for us. So I just want to thank you for your service, and it's greatly appreciated. And you really do help us make us a stronger organization and a better service for our community. So thank you all for your contributions. And that's all I have, unless there's questions.
I just want to let the board know that Greg and I did meet to review the evaluation discussion that we had in closed session at our last meeting, and that Greg will be sharing his proposed 2022 areas of focus with us at our February board meeting for discussion with the full board, and your input will be important. We'll try and get those to you in advance as part of the report. That way you'll have an opportunity to sort of look at them and see if they're, and we will have a discussion, but I didn't want them to just come at you that night. And I did note, I think the other night, that the Wisconsin Election Commission had an 11-hour meeting. So I don't want any more complaints about 2.5-hour meetings. Thank you very much. Thank you, Greg. Those were very nice comments. Are there questions or comments for Greg? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move along. The motion before us is to accept the report. And all in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Moving on to Legistar, couldn't they make those numbers bigger? Legistar number 68496, approval of the October 2021 financial reports. Lori. is before us, I think. And while she's coming on the screen, I'll ask for a motion for approval for discussion.
So moved.
It's been moved by Alyssa.
Second.
Who was that second? Jolynn?
It's me.
Alder Bennett.
Oh, Alder Bennett. Thank you. Okay, Lori, the budget report, the financial report.
Yes.
And the supplemental notes over the moon setting there.
Yeah, everything is actually pretty quiet this month. For I think this agenda is just lending itself to not a lot of discussion. I really don't have a lot to call out other than the MG&E charges in October are still fluctuating a bit. We did not get notification of our bill. We only had a partial bill in October. So I'm pretty sure we're gonna get back to normal in November. I had reached out to the city's MG&E representative and he was like, yeah, we're still having problems with our system. Sorry, we're not charging late charges because we didn't send out notifications. So, you know, among those strange things was like, there were absolutely no gas charges in October for Hawthorne, Ashman, Meadow Ridge. So if you're looking at that month to date and you're looking at the gas and electric, it's still wonky. And that is an official accounting term. also, it's not really about these reports as much as I just wanted to mention that mid-November, we actually got a chance to accept and appropriate our first donation from your blanket authorization. There's going to be a report next month on the agenda. It was pretty cool seeing that coming into play like the month after you guys approved it.
Good. See, you foresight. Very good. Yes. I have one quick question. It's a little further down on the U.S. bank statement.
Oh, let me get that.
I'm just wondering if you could answer. There was somebody, we took $15,000 out for something.
Oh, and yeah.
Petty cash?
It was for the staff party. No, I'm kidding. That is something that we do every year. We take a draw out of our trust fund. And at some point long ago, the amount became set at 20,000. And what we were noticing is in the years that the economic growth was not so good, we were starting to really deplete the account. So we are now taking out annually the earnings from the previous year. So I think it was 2 years ago, we only drew 6,000 out of it. Last year we drew, I don't remember, like 16.
And it just goes into the general fund?
Yeah, it goes into the library revenue, which,
okay.
Yeah. And we basically are using that just to purchase collections.
Okay. That's what I was wondering, if there was a special purpose. Okay, very good. Thank you. Are there other questions for Lori about any of the reports that are fall in this category? I am not seeing any, Lori. And so I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of accepting the report, approving the reports, the October 2021 financial reports, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those reports are approved. Thank you very much. Let's move on to Mark Benno and our facilities report.
Thank you, Eva. I'd like to start by echoing Greg and welcoming Montana Thompson, the Rosemary Lee Civic Engagement intern. I was on the panel along with Bryn and Christopher Pagero from Parks, and we were unanimous in our delight. I think we're really fortunate to have Montana joining us, and I'll be out at the support center on Monday to help welcome her. Not much to report. The LED conversion is continuing with Meadow Ridge this month. And we put the cap on the tenant improvements at Hawthorne next month with the final painting and wall repair. And then just as a teaser, the facilities department will be in its board report spotlight for January. So I really look forward to Rin Kurkov, our planner, is helping me assemble that report. And it's really going to be enlightening and I think demonstrate some really fascinating trends. So I really look forward to presenting that with Rin in January.
Wonderful. And we look forward to seeing you in person.
I look forward to seeing you all as well.
Yeah. Are there any questions from Mark this evening? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And we do today, ta-da, have a Friends report. The new representative of Friends to our board, Kathy Michaelis, who I had the opportunity to meet last night when I was at the Library Foundation board meeting made sure that she found all out about our meeting tonight. And here she is present. And I let her know that if she's welcome to speak, and if she has something to report, we're delighted to hear it. It may just reflect what you shared last night. It's up to you, Kathy, and welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was as of last night that I knew that I was supposed to come to these. That was my first foundation meeting. I'm not sure why this echo. I don't know.
Kathy, it's because you're in the meeting twice.
Why am I?
We see two instances of you.
So how do I get rid of that? Oh, okay. I don't know.
It's not so bad.
All right. Well, I'll keep it short. I don't have that much to say. I've been on. That was my first meeting on the foundation. I started as the, I guess you'd call, the coordinator of all the Friends in October. So it's been kind of a whirlwind. I started on the Pinney Friends group, and 6 months later ended up president, and 3 months later ended up coordinating all the Friends and getting on the foundation. So I'm trying to get myself together on all of this. We do have an all Friends meeting on Monday. We're trying to work through some spacing issues at the LSC and trying to get a sense of where everyone's at with book sales and receiving donations, and hopefully to look beyond book sales for the Friends group on other kinds of joint activities. That's really about all I have.
Well, no, that's wonderful to know, and for you to know that we are certainly eager to hear about any activities that are underway or that you're thinking about, and if we can be of any assistance. And definitely we want to know when the events are being held so that we can participate if possible. So we look forward to hearing what happens as a result of that meeting and meet, seeing you next month in that very same room if you're available.
Yes, I may have something to report after the meeting. I also, as you mentioned, events, take the chance to plug the Pinney Friends annual meeting on Tuesday, where we're featuring the artist in residence at Pinney is going to be speaking. So looking forward to a really good and better than usual attendance at the Friends annual meeting.
Wonderful. And I did get a note that the Monroe Street Friends is having a book sale and free gift wrapping on Friday as part of the Holiday Glow on Monroe Street for anybody who's interested. But thank you. Thanks, Kathy. We were looking forward. We've been missing getting reports on what's going on with our Friends groups. They're really very, very important. Thank you. And now Ryan Brown. Ryan, I think this is the earliest that anyone from the foundation has ever appeared on our agenda. Congratulations and welcome to the board meeting.
Thanks for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm just in my first year, or wrapping my first year of being on the board. So this is new for me in the number of territories, but can keep it brief. Just kind of three main items to update from the foundation. Two of which relate to the year-end giving. So yesterday was Giving Tuesday, and the campaign was launched, and we raised about $14,000, which is an awesome start. Obviously to the end of your giving campaign. And a lot of that push and the promotion for the year end will be heavily through email, social media, and the use of a newsletter. So two nice updates there on that. And then finally, a brief update on Rindle Park. Right now we're seeking the RFPs for the feasibility consultant. Hope to have that study beginning in February 2022. And then also currently working on the case statement for the Rindle Park as well. So that's short and sweet what I got for us, but appreciate you having me on this evening.
Well, thank you. And I think it's fair to say on behalf of all of us, how grateful we are to the foundation for all of the funding that has made possible programs and activities that would not be possible solely with city funds. The efforts that you all make on the board with whether it's the Giving Tuesday or Ex Libris, all of the activities that go on year round, the grant writing that really makes a huge difference, and we're grateful to you and to the foundation board for all of the efforts that you put in. And again, we welcome you to come, and at any time if you'd like to speak if you or any of your colleagues want to speak in greater detail about something that's coming up or that you want to keep us apprised of, or say, hey, we've got some money here, we're happy to advise you as to how we might like to have it spent. And I know Greg does work closely with you all and with Jenny about the needs of the library. But thank you. Thanks for coming this evening. All right. And now a South Central report. Jamie, anything new to report?
I'm just so floored that I'm doing this right now. I could have waited to eat dinner. I can light Hanukkah candles with my family tonight. Didn't think that would happen either. So we had a presentation by Shannon Schultz, who's a staff member at DPI, talking about the role of trustees and, you know, just in general, you know, library funds come in. How does that work? What is the role of a trustee? What do they vote on? What is their liability? So that was an educational opportunity, but really nothing else to report about South Central. Okay. We'll see what 2022 brings us.
Yes, thank you. And anything, Greg, anything additional from Dane County that you want to bring to us?
Nothing to report there.
Nothing to report. Okay. Well, we are a week out from Thanksgiving, but it's never inappropriate to say thank you. And I am thankful for all of you and your commitment to public service. As volunteers, it's so critical, the work that you all do and the time that you put in preparing and then volunteering. We are all very grateful. I am very grateful for all of you and for our staff, for all so many who are here today as a participant and that we haven't seen in quite a while. We look forward to seeing you in person in January. I'm wishing everyone, please, a happy and very healthy new year. And we stand adjourned at 5:46. Thank you all.
We need a
move adjournment.
So moved or seconded if I didn't get it in there first.
Right. Thank,
thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.